Okay, today we're doing Simon Shinchat Tes Halacha Zayin, but I'm going to first give you some introduction. Our topic is going to be panko bread crumb. So before we, get to the din, I'm going to first have to explain to you what panko bread crumbs are. So that when we get to the din, of course, the Shulchan Aruch doesn't talk about panko bread crumbs, but when we get to the din, you'll be more familiar and ready for that. Okay, so panko bread crumbs is a special kind of bread crumbs. The beginning of how you make them is pretty much like any other kind of breadcrumbs, which is you make breadcrumbs by first making bread. If you make bread, you let it dry out a little bit, sits around for a day, and then you grind it into crumbs. Okay, that's how all breadcrumbs are made. So it starts off regular, just, you know, picture, they're making balls of dough, and then they put them into these little things for them to rise in. Okay, and from that part of it so far is all the same. You just flour and water and, you know, yeast and a couple of ingredients, and you start off regular. Okay, but then it completely changes the way you make panko breadcrumbs versus regular ones. Okay, the story, the myth, I don't know if it's meant to be the truth, is that the reason why they made the invention of panko bread came during World War II. That's the myth, that the Japanese needed to have blackouts in their cities so they wouldn't get bombed by Russians, and so therefore there were no lights on and no smoke and no anything. They had to think of a way to bake bread, so they came up with this idea of how to bake bread without fire. Okay, and that's what we're going to watch, is how you create bread, that this special type of bread supposedly was invented in that method. Okay, what they do is like this. In order to make the bread, it's like this. The bread, in short, is going to be cooked with electricity. Okay, how does that work? They have these molds, and what it is you can imagine dozens of these on a belt, okay, and they're moving along like this, okay, and what happens like this. If you look at this, on the belt, in the actual pieces, this is... They described it to me, and it's exactly looks like a huge blech, okay? It's like as wide as this table, and maybe this deep, like 18 inches deep. So it's a nice-sized piece, this piece of metal, okay? And the edges of it are rubber. Okay? The edges, this part over here, what looks like cardboard, it's rubber, okay? So what it is you have this thing with this metal plate in the middle of it with rubber on the sides and the bottom. And these ride right next to each other on the belt. Okay, they ride along on the belt like this. Okay, you'll see later a picture of what it looks like. They ride along on the belt like this. So you realize if you put these next to each other, we have a cavity inside there. Okay, we have a mold, a shape, a space in the middle of it. And what they do is that after the dough is rising like the way it is, like you see now, it rises for a while. Then they plop it into that is a aerial view of what these molds look like. Okay, there's the metal plates in the middle with the rubber on the edges and on the bottom, and they just plop in pieces of dough. Okay, they just plop them in. They just put it, I don't know, a dozen pieces of dough into there. Okay, and the dough plops into there, sits in there for a while, and it goes through a long proofer. Okay, so I don't know, that's just a long proofer. Proofer means is that it's just warm temperature, which is really good for yeast to function, and helps the bread rise really nicely, to the point that basically those plops of dough, all those pieces of dough that were thrown into here, basically fill up this whole like mold sort of thing. Okay, I mean, when you realize this is just one, I didn't have time to make more. It's really, there are dozens of them, all the same, and in between them you're plopping this up. Okay, so what's the point of thinking this whole crazy thing? I forgot one more piece. There's this little piece of metal sticking out. Okay, what it looks like, if ever you've been in New York City, it looks like a little piece that sticks out of the train. Okay, that catch onto the third rail. That's what it looks like. But the shoe is called. Okay, it sticks out. So what's with this whole crazy setup? What's the reason why they make this funny thing? Because it works like this. Into this shoe, this piece that sticks out on the edge over here, after it goes through the proofer, after it's finished with the proofer, it gets to what we would call the baking area. It's not really baking, but it gets to the baking area. This piece that sticks out on the edges touches onto a third rail. It touches onto something that provides electric current. So now, if electric current would come through this with no dough inside of it, the electric current would come into this side, and it would have no place to go. There's no circuit, because the electricity comes in from this shoe, from this thing that sticks out. It goes into the plate. There's no full current, no circuit for it to come around to make a current out of this thing. So, nothing happens. It would just touch the electricity and nothing. I mean, if you touched it, the person would get electrocuted. But there's nothing, no electricity flowing through it. But then, if there's dough in the middle, if there's dough sitting in there, the dough conducts electricity. the moisture and the liquid inside of it conducts electricity. So if there's dough in between it, the electricity comes through one end, through this whole plate, passes right through the dough, out the other end, and back out that side. Okay, so now we have a complete circuit. If there's dough inside of it, electricity passes through it. If there's no electricity through it, if there's no dough in there, nothing happens. So, for example, when they turn on the machine in the morning, these belts, these things are running through the proofer. When they get to the baking area, nothing happens. They're empty. So when they come first, before there's any dough inside of them, it goes right through there. Nothing happens. It goes right through and nothing's happening. As soon as dough comes through it, let's say an hour, after it goes an hour running through the proofer, the first dough is coming through it, all of a sudden, electricity starts flowing through this. Okay? Until then, no electricity is flowing through it. It sits in what I'm calling the baking area, maybe 15 minutes. Okay? Maybe it sits there for 10, 15 minutes. Okay? This piece, the thing that's inside of here, is huge. Okay? It's like bigger than like a big sheet cake. It's a huge piece of dough that gets, we call it baked. There's no way that could bake in a regular oven in 15 minutes. That would take 3 hours to bake that in an oven. Okay? It comes, it pops out of the other thing, 15 minutes later, it's done. Okay? The bread actually comes out hot. Not hot. Warm, comes at about 200 degrees. When it pops out of this thing, comes at 200 degrees. The plates get heated mamela because of electricity to about 300 degrees. Okay, but they're not cooking this stuff with heat. Okay, there's no way that a 300 degree little thin plate could cook this thing in 15 minutes. Okay, of course not. Actually, what happens is the plates a little bit will burn on. I'll show you a picture in a second. Can burn on the edges of the dough, of the bread. Okay, that's not what they're cut on. They do not want it to be burnt on. They actually cut that off. They trim that away because the dark part doesn't look right. Okay, so here is a, no, okay, here's a picture of it coming out, okay, so here's our mold over here coming around, as they turn around the corner. Now, again, the second that the mold separates from each other, there's no electricity anymore, okay, so in this spot over here, there's no electricity, you can't see the shoe sticking, I'm on the wrong side, but there's no electricity flowing through anymore because the pieces are not touching each other, okay, so, and now, at this point, it's now baked, it's cooked, it's ready to eat. The whole inside is white and clear. The whole inside is completely white. That little burns that you see on the outside is a little bit that cut from the metal. It's not desirable. There's no crust on this. They turn that off. Okay? We have one more picture of this. Okay? The guy scoops it up, you see, with rubber gloves and plastic, so he doesn't get electrocuted. Okay? You can see on the left side there, the shoe sticking out. I don't know if you can see there. On the piece that's coming down, you can see both of them. Yeah, there's one there and one on the top one. There's this little thing sticking out. Okay, so that thing, if you can see it fit into the trap that went up there, there's a place where it fits in, where it would touch onto to get electricity. But now, there's no electricity flowing through this thing. It's just, the guy's just scooping it off. He doesn't want to get electrocuted. But, well, actually, no, there's no electricity now because it's not touching anymore. Okay, where he is, it's not touching the thing, but it comes off like this. They trim off those parts that they don't want, and then this is them moving down the belt. Again, if the picture isn't doing real justice. The stuff is white. Okay, it's like completely white. Here they are. They're just sitting there, and then they sit here and they dry out. They sit there for They sit there for a day, and they dry out until they're ready to grind them up and make them into crumbs again. Okay, so think about this. We took a huge, huge loaf of what could have been bread, this monstrous loaf. In 15 minutes, we pass it through this magical way of cooking it. It wasn't heat. Took the dough. In 15 minutes, it comes out completely ready to eat. Okay, it's a little spongy when it comes out. I don't know if that's so different than regular bread coming out of the oven. It's a little spongy-ish. It's top hot. It's 200 degrees. That's sort of like a mamela. I guess you could slice it. Okay, now, I don't know why we only see them as panko bread crumbs. Why don't we ever see panko bread? Okay, so probably because it doesn't taste too good. Probably because as bread, it didn't taste so good. So the Japanese, so they were stuck. They had to eat it, and then they left it over. And when they said, oh my gosh, this is good for breadcrumbs. They did a better job as breadcrumbs than they did as bread.
Just sugar and
no, oil. It's plain. What's unusual for the breadcrumbs is that they're fluffy and they're big and they're eerie and they don't hold oil. All kinds of special properties that makes it really good for breadcrumbs. I dealt with two companies when I was working on this. One of them was explaining to me how good it makes shrimp. Okay, if you make fried shrimp, it does a good job on fried shrimp. I didn't have the heart to tell
them. Restaurants would like to know that. If you
tell about them. The shrimp, yeah, especially our truck with the pulled pork, So this is how you make panko panko breadcrumbs. Okay? Got it?
Makes sense? Panko bread.
Panko bread, but this bread, well, and then tomorrow it's going to be panko breadcrumbs. Okay. Great. Let's learn the din now. Halacha Zayin. Okay. The Mishnah said, the din said, it's a Gemara. Lechem ha'ashir l'kutach. Remember we talked about this on what kutach is? Kutach is this dip that was made with milk, sour milk, and old bread. Okay? So, lechem ha'ashir l'kutach, if you make bread with the intention of turning it into kutach, okay, you're, that's what you make your bread for in order to make it into kutach. So before I tell you what the din is, the Gemara is a stira. Okay, it's a Gemara bracha. The Gemara is a stira. It says one price is said that lechem asul kutach needs harfarshus challah, and one says it does not need harfarshus challah. So which one is it? The Gemara says that, I mean, one says yes, one says no. So the Gemara says it depends like this. If you made it ke'even, so it's like this. Maseh amachichin alecha. It depends what you if you could tell when you were making this bread. If you could tell what it was made for, which means like this, I saw ke'evin, the ha'inu sha'orchov asoy keturis lechem, if when you created this lechem asu l'kutach, I forgot to tell you one piece, the Gemara says, lechem asu l'kutach is baked in the sun. When you're preparing to bake this lechem made for kutach, if you made it keturis lechem, in the shape of bread, and as you molded it, you formed it into the shape of a bread, then, chayim, it's chayim l'chala. So for example, regular bread, bread made for regular breadcrumbs looks exactly like loaves of bread. Okay, when you walk through the plant, the people making the bread for breadcrumbs, if you didn't know, you would think you were in a bakery making loaves of bread to eat. Okay, and as it looks like exactly like a regular loaf of bread, nice, cute little loaves of bread, that you would think you could just slice up and make a corned beef sandwich out of. Okay, but, I take this, I said regular breadcrumbs. Okay, but if the imlav, if you make it, the Gemara calls it kili mudin, you just took the dough and plopped it down in the sun, and you just let it bake like that, then potter, why is it potter? Because my sel machichim la. If you were trying to make a loaf of bread, you would make it look like a loaf. If you're planning to make it into kutach, you don't care what it looks like. You're going to crumble it up anyhow and put it into this kutach. You don't care whether it looks like a nice loaf of bread. So you just plopped it down. It was masel mechichin. It was obvious to everybody. You could tell from what you were doing that this thing is not going to be made into a bread that anyone's going to slice and eat like a regular loaf of bread. So then it's potter from Rashad. That's the Gemara's. That's what the Gemara says, which is right here. That's what I'm doing right here. This is a Gemara put right here in this thing. Okay. Okay, so. The Gemara's description of the difference between which ones are chayav and chal and which ones are not chayav and farshas chal, that Gemara's hesber of whether it's ke'evin or kelimudin, did you make it look like loaves of bread, or did you make it just like a plop piece of dough, is exactly what we're seeing over here. Okay, what we saw over here is exactly the same thing. It's cooked not in a regular way. That cooked in the chama, and this is cooked in with electricity, not with heat. It's not cooked in the same way. When you put the stuff into when you bake it, when you prepare it, so the Gemara says you made it kilimudin. You just took pieces of dough and you plopped them down in the sun to bake without any care that the thing should come out looking like a loaf. That's exactly what they do over here. They're doing the exact same thing. Now, it happens to be for commercial purposes, you put it into this mold and for the electricity to flow through this and that, but there's totally no, you could tell from what they're doing that no one has any care in the world that the thing should look like a loaf of bread. That's not the point over here. It's obvious from what this person is doing. You put it into this funny machine, this whole thing, it's obvious that you're not making loaves of bread. Okay? Nobody makes loaves of bread that are that big and with this strange shape, and et cetera, all those pieces. So, it's exactly the description of what the Gemara said of lechem ha'asul kutach. This is lechem ha'asul panko breadcrumbs. Okay, it's obvious, myself, machichan alea, that you made a kilimudim, and you put the proverbs. Okay? Now, that's part one. Okay. Now, a related question is, our second question is, are they chayiv in pasasro? Okay, so regular breadcrumbs, of course, if a person wants to eat only pasasro, if you want to eat only pasasro, then regular breadcrumbs are bread, and they need pasasro. Okay, so the question is whether they need pasasro. So now, before we talk about pas for a second, I need to talk about a separate thing, which is, what's the din? We know the din is that for bishul Yisrael, for foods that need to be bishul Yisrael, not bread foods, other kinds of foods, the din is only foods that are cooked with fire need bishul Yisrael. Okay? If a person would cook something like this, which is a not cooking by fire, the Rambam says unless it's cooked with an ash, it's not chayiv in bishul Yisrael. No, bishul Yisrael, if you pickle something, if you brine something, okay, now the in this case, the metal plates get hot, there is a certain amount of heat, but the heat is obviously not...
because it's no fire because
now bishul
and
a nice bishul. I'm going to answer that. So the Ramah said, the words of the Ramah are, you have to have an ash. Okay, that's the Ramah's words, there has to be a fire. So it happens to be, it happens to be, the Pesach can talk about what happens if you cook something b'chama, okay? Which is to say, when you cook something b'chama, it means it gets hot. You put it out to the fire, you put an egg on your car, you break it on the side of your car and you cook it out there, so it gets hot, it cooks because of hot, it doesn't cook because of radiation, well, I'm sorry, I take that word back. It doesn't cook because of microwaves, it doesn't cook in some unusual way, it cooks because the sun's heat makes it hot and cooks the food. Okay, and the person can say, it's a very true about it, that Bishul B'chama does not need B'chizol. Okay?
Because of Shabbos, it doesn't need Bishul.
Okay.
You can. It's not Bishul, but let's say microwave. So, what do they say? Make a microwave.
We talked about it. Okay.
No question.
Okay.
Are you saying that it's possible that this can be need Bishul Yisrael?
No, I'm not talking about this yet. I'm putting that on the side for a second. I'm just talking about, does food Bishul Yisrael, if it would be Bishul, if you would cook potatoes like this, they wouldn't need to be Bishul Yisrael. Okay? If you were to cook the food like this, without a fire, essentially, b'chama. I mean, you're heating it up.
This might need Bishul Yisrael. If this was considered a regular official, this would...
If this would be a potato, it would not need Bishul Yisrael. Because Bishul b'chama does not need to be Bishul Yisrael.
Potatoes need Bishul Yisrael. You just say that this type of method...
Of cooking. If you put potatoes into this machine...
No, I don't say it's enough, not pas. You said it's not pas.
I'm not talking about this yet. I'm talking about potatoes. I'm not talking about... I'm getting to potato in a second. Just be patient. As if this method of cooking was used for something that was not pas... If this method of cooking was just something that was in the rules of Bishul, it was a potato, okay, a big thing of rice was sitting in here, we're trying to cook it, then it would not need to be Bishul.
Why? Because electricity is not H?
Because it's not cooked with an H. It does two things. It doesn't cook with heat. What's making it get cooked is not the heat of the bread. It's not that the bread gets heated up like in a regular oven, the bread gets hot.
One second. Maybe it is. Electricity flows through the course of it to get hot, and maybe it's the heat that's making it.
Okay. So, electricity
wouldn't work.
In heat-wise, heating something for 15 minutes and making it to 200 degrees is not going to bake it. It's not going on because they explained to me all the ins and outs. I don't understand
it's
big right through.
So, but what's the answer to that? It's not.
It's not like you have a coil in your toaster that's creating heat. You say that's an H. That is it. That's heating your food with an H. This is not heating the food. It's cooking the food through a different method. It's like heating like a microwave. It's cooking through a different method, not through heating up the food.
It's not necessarily kacham. Kacham is a very direct.
No, so I would say even if you want to say, well, there's an element of it getting warm and cooked like that. Even then, when you use non-fire to cook something with H, even that is not considered Bishul, doesn't need Bishul Yisrael. Bahama is the closest we get to heating something but not using fire. Okay, now. So you would think that all those same rules would apply to pas also. Okay, the Ramot is in Kufri Gimel talking about Bishul, whether preparing food through salting and brining and Bacham, all these kind of things are in the Dinam of Bishul Yisrael. You would think the same things would apply to pas also. Okay? That's what you would think. Okay, so that's what I would have thought also. Okay, but the Chakmas Biyam brings a deal. Actually, from our din, he brings a deal from related to our din that is not true. Okay, and that for pas that was baked to chama does need to be pas yisrael. Okay, even though potatoes cooked b'chama don't need to be bishul yisrael, pas cooked b'chama does need to be pas yisrael. Okay, and his deal is.
Okay?
What do you say?
You have to put it there.
Okay, so actually, I'm going to talk about sort of in a second. Okay,
well, here's
so,
an example. Let's say you put it on at night. Not in the sun, and then the sun comes b'mela, right?
Okay, it's a good question. Okay,
so I made the sun. Okay, so we'll see so,
so,
later.
Before you get carried away. So the his deal is like this. But we have to listen to where he gets the din from, and then you'll understand why we're okay with it. Why we don't need pasta. And that's like this. His deal is the Rashba is the makar for the din, not in Chazal, in Bishul Yisrael, in Pas Yisrael, to say that Lechem Asi L'Kutach doesn't need to be Pas Yisrael either. Okay, our din is about whether it needs to be Pas Yisrael. The Rashba says it doesn't need to be Pas Yisrael either. You don't need to be Pas Yisrael. Why? Because you look at the Gemara Brachas, you'll see in the Gemara Brachas it says that if you made it Kilimudim, it doesn't need to have Pas Yisrael. Okay, so the Chacham Kutcher says, why did he say that? Why did he just say it doesn't need Pas Yisrael because it's baked Bechama? There's a much more straightforward reason. It's just not. It's like it's just prepared without cooking. He said, you see from the Rashba that he held that baking b'cham is not a patur. It doesn't get you off the hook just because it was baked b'cham. Okay? He said, but what didn't you see? But what Lamaisa said, that's what he's talking about. He's not talking about panko breadcrumbs. He's talking about baking bread b'cham. But what Lamaisa do we see about what the Rashba said. The Rashba said is, but if you would bake it b'chama, kili mudin, like this, if you did a kili mudin, then the din would be is that it would be potter. It would not need hafrat, it would not need b'shisro. So memeil, for us, again, if I'm correct, that we look at this baking kili mudin, to me, that seems like kili mudin, then the Rashba, even though theoretically, pas needs, pas baked b'chama needs pas yisro, but pas baked Kilimudim Bahama does not need pastor. Okay, now, on the side to this, a little aside to this, like this. Okay, when I went to one of the companies that I dealt with, that I actually went to there, when I was there, they were, I could use the word, grumbling about some people who want to make panko breadcrumbs, but want to make them pastor shawl. Okay, and they were just grumbling about the technicalities of making pastor shawl. So I was, the company personnel weren't happy about what was going on, but I was actually thinking about it, and I felt like this. I said, you know, the truth is that if you don't agree with me and you think it needs to be pas yisrael, it's pretty hard to make it pas yisrael. And I suspect, from the way they were describing to me of how they made the pas yisrael, that the people who call it pas yisrael were not successful. And that's the following. How would you make this pas yisrael? You would turn on, it's being cooked with electricity, you would turn on the electric flow into this oven so that it would cook, the yid would turn on the fire. Okay? Now, the problem is like this. When the yid puts on the electricity, as these things are moving through, there's no electricity. So when the yid turns on the thing, nothing happens. The electricity doesn't flow into here until someone puts dough into it, and then it starts to flow. So the yid, if he wanted to do it by turning on the fire, would be flipping that switch up and down all the time. Okay, he'd be, every 10 minutes, he'd have to put it back on.
At least like a pilot.
So, no, there's no such thing as pilot. Oh, is that thing like a pilot? No, so we spoke about it when we talked about boilers, about that presumably it qualifies only as a grumma. Okay, I'm setting something up so that when this happens, eventually a fire will come light. I'm not, the yid didn't do anything, but the yid did. Again, if you would stick your hand in here, I'm sorry that you get electrocuted, there's no heat in here, there's no electricity flowing through. It only going to come when they put the dough into it. So now, there is a way to make it pass this all. And the way to make it pass this all, which, again, I don't think they would do it.
When the boiler goes open, the fact that they're turning the switch so that...
So that's what we talked about by boilers. That's what we talked about there. If you want to make a pasul, there is a way, and that is like this. The Gemara says there's three ways to make something pasul. One of them is for the yid to light the fire. The other one is for the yid to put it onto the fire. Okay, so that means to say is if the yid would turn on the belt, moving all the stuff, the yid would be the one who put all the dough going towards the fire. If he would be not standing by the, so to speak, oven part of it, the baking side of it. He has to go over to the dough side of it and turn on those machinery, get that machinery. Every time they put in a new batch of dough, he would be the guy to push the button to get things moving along. Then he can make a pasta sole because he put it onto the, so to speak, fire. If he thought it needed pasta sole, he would do that part, which is a yid lights the, I'm sorry, puts it onto the place, and then the guy lights the fire, it's also pasta sole. Okay, so he could do that. But that, again, from the discussions of the people sitting in the room, my feeling was that that's not what was going on. Just the way they were grumbling about. Okay, now.
It's not called Nicker, the fact that it turned on the meat of Hecker.
Not everything qualifies for Hecker. If the yid hangs up its sign and says, I was here, that doesn't make a positive show. It's Nicker, right? He had a big poster that said, I was here, but doesn't make a positive show. There's three ways to make a positive show. So if you're not lighting the fire, something you could.
What are the three ways?
Put it onto the fire, light the fire, or stoke it. Okay, so you could do the thing to get it onto the fire, that you could do, but again, the yid would have stood in a different spot than where he was. He wouldn't have stood in this spot, and they grumbled about that part. He would have been sitting over there, and it would have made no problem.
Which would have been dumping in the...
Dumping in and making those belts home. He could have turned all that machinery on, and, you know, watch it. Every time they make a new batch, you push the thing to dump it in. He could have done all those things to make it possible if he wanted to. Okay, now the last little thing is, not just a... issue is like this, but not so sorry, but which is like this.
What do we initially say about it? I still don't get it. Unless it was someone making it in a fire, and we also come along, would that be initially Israel?
No, because it's take it back.
It's not pas. I'm saying it's not pas.
If it's not pas, then it would be in the rules of Bishisol. Yes, then it would be in the rules. Then it would be in the rules of Bishisol. So I'm about to talk about that. One second. I just said to you why it doesn't need to be pas. It doesn't need to be Bishisol either.
It's because it's electrocuted.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's electrocuted. But right. Let's say someone doesn't agree with that.
That's good. If you would say that,
he says it's close enough, good enough to be a fire, like a microwave. I don't know.
So then it would need to be. Then it would be in the rules of pas. Also, it wouldn't be in the rules of Bishisol. It would be in the rules of pas. And you
try.
Well, they'll go together. I mean, if it's either it's pas or it's not.
Something wooden. Something wooden. That's why it's not pas.
Okay.
But the fire is a fire, so it's enough of a fire to be considered
Okay, so listen to what I have to say. I don't know if I'm going to answer your question. I'm going to maybe answer your question. Okay. The rules for what makes something hamoitzi and what makes something pas yisrael and what makes something chayv and forces chala are the same. Those three dinim. If it's pas for one, meaning that you make hamoitzi on it, then it needs pas yisrael and it needs a forces chala. If you don't make hamoitzi on it, you make only mezonos on it, then it's in the rules of bishul yisrael, not in pas yisrael, and the din is that it's not chayv and forces chala. Okay, those three things, the criteria is the same. Okay? So there's a little unusual thing like this. Okay, if you look in Hilchos Brachos, the Torah says that the brach on lechem asu l'kutach, what brach do you make on that bread? The Torah says, well, it depends. If you make it kilimud, then it's like this. Making kilimud, then it's like this. Like the Gemara says about Hilchos Chala. What happens to be in Maseches Brachos, but the Torah says, well, the same thing. It depends on how you make it, which is, the rules should always be the same. That's what the Torah says. The Beis Yosef says, nah, not everybody agrees to that. And if you open up the Shulchan Aruch, says is the bracha on lechem asu l'kutach is mezonos. Okay. He doesn't say that it depends on whether it's kilimud or mukem. He says it's always, the bracha is always mezonos. So Rabbi Gerom says, well, what's going on over here? How come in Hilchos Brachos the mechaber paskin that no matter what the din is that it's mezonos, it's not pas. And over here in Hilchos Challah, the mechaber said exactly what the Gemara says. I mean, either you agree with the Gemara or you don't. That's a question that we're trying to. But either you agree or you don't agree. Why over there did he say? No matter what, it's mezonos, it's not pas, and over here he said something worse. So the Magen Avraham says that Hilchos Brachos only is negated to a drabbanan. Okay, it's only a drabbanan, so we're going to be more makel about a drabbanan. Okay, now a couple of things on that. He asks himself two questions. First is he says the Bach says that it's only a drabbanan when you think about if you eat without a bracha, making the wrong bracha. He says, but if a person makes the wrong bracha, I didn't say that correctly, if a person makes the wrong bracha, that's a deraisa. Okay, it's a problem of lesisa to make the wrong bracha. He also asks, he says, wait, sometimes if you eat enough of something, then the shayla of birchas hamazon is a shayla of a deraisa also. So I'm telling you, the mechab wants to make because it's a drabanan. He says, not always drabanan. He says, what's the kula? He asks about that also. He says, what's the kula? That's from the Bach side. What's the difference between bracha and make? He says, why?
He's not going to eat enough of that to bench on
it. Okay, the Magen Avraham leaves it tzarchin. He's not sure what it is. The Prim Gadol has some other answers. I'm not really sure what the Magen Avraham really meant, because what's the end of his sentence? He said, Hilchos Brachos is a drabanan. And what's the end of the sentence? But a Farshas Chala is a deraisa. Really? Farshas Chala is not a deraisa. Not even any place, but surely not in Chalas Chutzar. What?
Tikra Minotaria. Based on the
deraisa. So it's connected to a deraisa. Okay, maybe that's what he meant. It wasn't clear to me. Right, so what's going on here? So, I mean, so the Shulchan Aruch only meant it in Eretz. Okay, now, what's a little also interesting is, we have one more case, which is the din of Pas and Bishri Yisrael. What does it say in those dinim about Lechem Osu Nekutach? Okay, so there it says is, Kutach Shalev Kechavim, okay, there you're not buying Lechem, you're buying the Kutach. You go to the store, and you want Mariano's, okay. And you want to buy a container of Kutach. What's it then? Mutter, you're allowed to eat it. The ain chayshish on the pas akum shabbat. Okay, you don't have to worry about the fact that the bread is not pas yisrael. So why over there? So now, the Magen Avraham's answer will answer that case also. Wasn't he mechalik in Ke'evan and Kelimudin? Why didn't he? Wasn't he mechalik? But I was just surprised that nobody asked the question. The dinner over there just says in there is nice and happy. You know, everyone doesn't say anything about it. No, in Hilchos Brachos, there's a question. Well, why is it like hafarshas chala? But I'm just was surprised. I mean, I guess maybe they figured if you got the Siman Kufi Beis, then you probably already saw, you know, Aruch HaYamim, you saw the Magen Avraham there. I didn't get it exactly. I only thought that maybe I might have read that these words wrong to you. Okay, listen to the words again. Kutash Lev Kechavim, Mutter, you'll have to eat it. I read it like this. Ve'ein Chayshin Lepas Lev Kechavim Shabbat. You don't have to be worried about the Isser because it doesn't need to be passed to Shal. It could be that he meant it was like this. When you buy the package of Kutach, there's two ways they could have made that bread. They could have made the kilimudim, they could have made the kaven. You obviously have no clue how they made it. You're buying the finished package. So maybe the English means is you don't have to worry that maybe he made it kaven. Maybe he made it like this, in which case it would be chayv in a farshas chala, since it's only drabanan, you could be make and assume that he made a kilimudim. In other words, you could read the English means is you don't have to be worried. There's two ways. Some kutach is mutter, some kutach is asr. So the dinner, you can be made so I would drop on it. Maybe they just read it like that. No deep from that then. The in chushim, maybe in chushim doesn't mean this. It's mutter. It means is you don't have to worry about it. Some of them are mutter, some are also. There's no way to tell. At this point, there's no way to tell. So therefore, we have to say.